The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
And we're back. Believe You Me. What's up, son?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Why do you have to say that in like, because I know you do when you go, I believe you me. You like do it in some like attempted Cockney British accent. No. You know, I feel like now after, I mean, how long have we done this show? Years. I feel like we're past the childish mimicking, mocking of the accent, you know what I mean? But you know, hey, whatever floats your boat, I guess. Lewis, welcome to the show, everybody.
It's gonna be a good week this week. Valentine's Day week, the wife Ooh. Is back, Mr. Bisping. Ooh. She had her time with Tony, she came back. Honestly, you know what, good, every once in a while go let her experience the fruits of life, and then she comes right back where she belongs, to the Bisping Manor.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I was a saint while she was away. Every day I was to bed early. I was getting up at 6 a.m. I was taking the kids. I was doing jobs around the house, pottering, doing plants, watering the plants, walking the dogs. I put up a tremendous amount of pictures and did little odd jobs around the house. But on Saturday night, as we know, there was Dominic Reyes taking on John Jones. And I had the house to myself. Lucas was upstairs chatting to a lady friend of his. We're going to talk about that in a little Ooh. Bit because I believe James has a love interest as well. So, you know, with it being Valentine's Day week, we're going to talk about that. But Saturday night, I'm by myself, Lewis. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm watching the fights. I'm like, well, if I can't have a little drink tonight, I mean, when can I? You know what I mean? So, yeah, admittedly, I fell off the wagon. I've been alcohol-free all year. But Saturday night, I fucked up. So I picked Beck up. I've been the image of health every single day, apart from 6 a.m. when I turned up at LAX to pick her up. Very, very hungover, not looking good. So I ruined it, Lewis. I ruined the big return.
I'd be embarrassed if he did.
You've been alcohol-free all year.
Pretty much, yeah.
Alcohol-free.
Yes. Pretty much. I've had the odd glass of wine here and there. Yeah, I have not been drunk all year.
I mean, look, I was with you on New Year's Eve. I was there. We went into January 1st together.
Okay, other than New Year's Eve, you want to get technical, you want to be childish already. Oh, you're mimicking accents and you can be very pedantic on times. But yeah, other than that night, okay, January 1st, whatever you want to call it. I've been alcohol free, but Saturday night, I was watching the fights. But you know what? Doesn't make you a bad person. We're only human, but now it's a mental reset. Don't fuck up February. Don't use that as an example to say, you know, well, fuck it. I had a month off. That was good for my liver. I got up and I felt good. No, you know, I get back on the horse. And try and continue. The big test, I'll be in Albuquerque, New Mexico. No, I'll be in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Won't be ingesting a single drop this week, Lewis. I swear to God.
Well, that's very good. And I got to be honest with you. I've had a lot of people hit us up after that last show. The last show last week where we really went into the fitness stuff, the amount of people that were saying they were inspired, I was very happy because I was a little bit nervous with the show because we got a little preachy. And there's a fine line between being a douchebag and being an inspirational person. And we were dancing on that line very, very, very close.
I mess it up constantly. You know what I mean?
Douchebag. Inspirational.
I was like, oh, I keep falling over to the douchebag side. You know, I keep doing the Luke Rockhold, conceive, believe, achieve. Yeah. No, you're right. And in fact, I got a lot of good feedback from that episode as well. So thank you, everybody, for the kind comments. Because we don't like to preach. We don't, but, you know.
But there's an element of realness to it, you know. And to be honest with you, I mean, look, if we can cause some sort of positive, you know, positivity and inspire some people to work out or be a little bit better. We fuck up all the time. Michael Bisping falls off the wagon every other week. I am a fat fuck every other month. So, you know, we're not saying we're great examples on how to live your life. I think you can look at the amount we fuck up and then, you know, just having the motivation to get back on that horse is sometimes difficult. And I think talking about it, sometimes it inspires other people to do the same thing. So we should do our own thing. Like Rogan has this Sober October. We need to do like, you know, our own type of
smashed out your face is December.
Get fucked up February.
Yeah, get yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, I do not want to do that, but you're right. And as you said, listen, I'm not like when you talk about yourself and myself, we're not standing here thinking we're shining examples of how to live your life. Because when people do that, that does become a little somewhat annoying and preachy. But dude, as you just said, I make enough mistakes in my life. I'm far from perfect. I gotta work on my temper. I'm trying to do that a lot. My temper is very, very bad. I've got better. You know, but like my Zen time at the moment right now, I sit in the sauna after every workout. Now I'm up to 20 minutes. I couldn't even do 10 minutes in the past. I sit there 10 minutes. I play some nice, peaceful music somewhere over the rainbow. And I'm sitting there and I woosah. I do my stretches and I walk out. And I'm like,
okay, meditate.
I meditate. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to smile. I'm going to hold doors. I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to pretend to be interested to the dickhead that won't shut the fuck up at the gym. I'm going to listen and smile before I say, okay, time to fucking move on, dickhead. You're annoying me now. But I'll give him a little bit of time before I do that.
I don't really know what meditation is. Like, I couldn't actually, I don't really know what it is. Like, when they say he's meditating, it's like, what are you thinking? You're clearing your head?
I've got a book on it. It's by the side of my bed, The Beginner's Guide to Meditation. You know what that book is now? It's in Ellie's room. Ellie says, oh, Dad, I borrowed that book off you. I'm like, okay, good. It at least gives me a reason for not reading it. I read the first few pages. It was a self-help guide to meditation. I thought, I want to know what all this fucking palaver about meditation is. I want to get into it. I need peace in my mind. But then in the book, oh, God, I hate these books. You had to get a pencil and a pen and start writing journals and to write down your feelings and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, nah. Not for me. Sorry, buddy.
It's a hard thing. All those self-help books, when they actually have you take pen to paper and do homework like that, I want to do it. I can never motivate. You know what I wanted to do? Because I got my son has a keyboard. He takes piano lessons. And he's got a stand. It's very nice set up in my living room. And I was watching Groundhog Day. You know the movie Groundhog Day?
Of course.
Bill Murray, great movie. And he learns piano every day. I guess he goes and starts taking piano lessons. And then, you know, by the, you know, halfway through the movie, he's like impressing Andy McDowell's character by playing that crazy song. And in my mind, I'm like, I know enough about music. I play drums. I can play a little guitar. I was like, I feel like if I just sat down and did like a YouTube course every morning for 20 minutes and just taught myself piano, I bet you I could learn how to play the piano in like a year. I bet I could. And I can't even motivate to do the first course. I can't do it. There's no reason. There's nothing tangible there. I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what to say to that. How bad do you want it? That's what it comes down to, Lewis. I feel like you don't want to do it. If you really wanted to learn that instrument, you would make the time for it. I didn't read the book on meditation, but I am reading a book called The 48 Laws of Power.
I've read that book. It's the fucking best. It's psychotic. All right, people that read this book, they either go like, this is great.
Thanks for totally cutting me off on my story, but you're fine. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Take my book recommendation. Take the book that I brought up. Take it. No,
I got excited.
Lewis. No, I've only read chapter one. Never outshine the master, okay? But
I just broke the law.
I'm going to fucking kill you. But please take my book and review it for the people. Go ahead, Lewis. Tell everybody. The floor is yours. Please tell them how smart you are. It is a good book, though. Go on. Go ahead.
It's the fucking best. You've only read one chapter?
I'm two chapters in. Here's the thing. I whilst one of the many things that I did when Rebecca was away, we have a balcony from our bedroom, nice big balcony. The problem is it's too big. But anyway, I went away. We got a lot of potted plants, got a couch and some chairs and some stuff like that. And I've got it all nice. And after I'd done it all, I sat on the balcony. The sun was shining down. It was like 75 degrees. I'm like, oh, look at me. Aren't I just a fucking model human being here doing my balcony, reading books in the sun before I go and pick the kids up? But ever since then, the weather hasn't been good. So I haven't gone back to it yet. I'm on the second chapter, but chapter one, Never Outshine the Master. Very, very good. I will finish that book soon, so no spoilers, please.
Well, you could read it. You could even just read the laws. You don't even have to read every chapter to really understand it. The laws just themselves are sort of self-explanatory. They even say that in the book. But people that read this book, they either go like, this is great. This is how I need to live my life. And that's a small percentage of people, I think. And then the larger percentage of people go, what type of sociopath would ever treat people this way? Because it's the whole book is about sort of like we're all in this game, and it's all a game of power, right? And it's either you're losing or you're winning. So where do you want to be? And sort of understanding those dynamics and sort of these like rules. It's I really love books like that.
It's basically a guide to manipulating the people around you, okay? Yeah. If you want to get what you want out of certain situations, you want to seem like you're not trying too hard, but subliminally, you're manipulating the fuck out of everything, yeah, go ahead. Read this book. Me personally, I am what I say on the tin type of guy. So I don't really, you know, I don't surround myself with such theories of manipulation and deceit. But just so I'm aware of these so-called laws of power, I'll ingest it. I'll take it on board. I'll take a look to see what the average man is working with.
Once you read the book, you're going to realize Michael Bisping's either doing one of two things right now. Either he's losing this game of power, right? Or he's currently manipulating all of us and he's pretending to be ignorant, which is another law of power, pretending to be ignorant. So either way, I don't trust Michael Bisping. He should not be trusted. Right now, just this moment, if you watch what just happened, he is not to be trusted.
Hold on, let me just go back. Yes, I haven't read the book at all. No, it is a fascinating book. I can't even remember who reads it. I don't know how we got onto this topic here, but I am going to finish that book. But Never Outshine the Master, all that good stuff. What are we talking about? I did want to touch on this really quick. Oscars, Sunday night. We don't want to go into this whole award ceremony bullshit. You probably didn't watch it. Rebecca came back. She wanted to watch it. She only likes to watch it for, you know, the outfits and see what the celebrities and stuff are wearing. So anyway, we had it on. We had a Thai takeaway. Kept it low carb. Just had the chili chicken cashew nut. No rice. Come on. No carbs, baby. And we're watching it. And Joaquin Phoenix wins Best Actor, right? And I love Joaquin Phoenix. I love Gladiator. I love Walk the Line. That's a fucking great movie. I'm yet to see Joker. I'm hearing mixed reviews, but I'm yet to see it.
So good. Who said it wasn't good?
A lot of people on Twitter said, oh, thanks for getting my hopes up about the Joker. I watched it and was very bored. But to me, it looks fantastic. And I've seen a lot of positive reviews. So I'm looking forward to watching it. Rebecca didn't watch it on the plane because she knows I want to watch it. Anyway. Joaquin Phoenix comes up. And listen, I like the guy. I'm a fan of the guy. But you know, Ricky Gervais, when he was at the Golden Globes, he said, listen, all you guys, come up here, get your little award, thank God, and then fuck off, right? He's saying that Greta Thunberg knows more about the real world than they do. And it's kind of true in some ways. I'm not shitting on Joaquin Phoenix. If I met him, I'd want a picture. I'd want to shake his hand and say, I'm a huge fan of your work. But he went up there, and I guess he's trying to do good, and I respect that. But he's talking about the plight of cows, okay? And he says, listen, because he's a very strong vegan activist, and as we all know, vegans, they do like to get on the high horse about things. He says, what right do we have as human beings to artificially inseminate a cow, okay? And then when the cow gives birth, to take the cow, the calf away from the mother, and then we take the milk for ourselves. And he's going on like it was this big travesty. And I'm like, okay, I get that. You're vegan. And I understand vegans' points of view. But bro, is this the best thing you want to talk about? This is what you're going to use? You're getting an Oscar for the best actor, the best male actor, whatever. Right? And this is what you're going to say. If you drive a mile down the street from where that ceremony was, there's thousands of homeless people all over Los Angeles. But no. Let's get on our high horse about the fucking cow milk. You know, there's starving children all over the world. There's women being fucking, you know, forced to walk behind men and wear fucking things over their faces, Sharia law and all this type of stuff. There's travesties happening everywhere. But you want to get on your fucking high horse? about cow's milk being taken away from them. Come on, bro.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, just in general, like you mentioned the Ricky Gervais thing. It's just, it makes me roll my eyes just listening to anybody preach about really anything when you live in this world of, you know, just being very, very privileged and very, very elite. And it's not like, look, we joke around and we talk about the Bisping half mansion, but you're different, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you getting into fighting is not like a, it's not like acting. People who get into acting as like young people, it is a very privileged thing to get into. What?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was listening, but I was also looking up another one as well. This kind of got on my nerves a little bit. Natalie Portman. And again, no beef with Natalie Portman.
Love her. You shut the fuck up. Say one bad word. I dare you.
Why is she good looking? Because I don't know what she looks like.
What? She's the best looking.
Really? What has she been in? What has Natalie Portman been in?
Thor. She was in Black Swan. Oh, she's a
good looking girl. But anyway, at the Oscars, see, she's wearing a cape there. And at the Oscars, she wore a cape with all the names of all the female directors that are being that are up for a nomination. Okay, because it's ridiculous the amount of women directors that aren't getting a shot. But I saw an article from Piers Morgan the other day. Piers Morgan said, "Oh, the hilarity, the hypocrisy of that woman," because she has a production company herself, and they've hired no female directors other than her. She's the only person in her production company that has directed something. It's like, come on. But listen, it's great to be a woman. It has never been better to be a woman in this day and age. My God, come on. They are all up for nominations for an Oscar. It's not exactly like these women are going through hell right now. They're having a great time. I don't know what, I just don't understand what the stance is all about. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're looking for the disparity and the, if I'm looking for an angle where something's unfair for me, I could find it. Bisping, if you wanted to bitch and moan about all of the things that were unfair in your life and about the things you should have been given and how this person across the street got this and this person got that, we can spend all day and all of our lives going like, wow, that's just not fair. Or you can fucking do something. I don't know. Be a better director. It's not about like, so instead of her going like, oh, well, these people need to be represented. It's like, well, no, maybe you should be saying to every female director out there, be better than everybody else, be better than every man. And that should be the standard. Not let's change the way that we need to look at things. Let's make it easier for, no. Be the best. I have that built into me. And I teach that to my kid. I preach that. I haven't had many handouts in my life. So it's very difficult for me to sort of feel any sort of like empathy toward, like you said it, you're like toward Hollywood directors. I don't fucking feel bad for these bitches. They're rich.
You were up for an Oscar. You were a director up for an Oscar. It's not like you're just a low little, and this even this would be good. You're directing commercials for pet food, right? Even that, you're working as a director.
Probably a millionaire.
Probably a millionaire. You're up for an Oscar, for fuck's sake. It doesn't get much better than that. Your life is pretty good. You do not need putting on a cape and like, oh, these poor women, they are only up for Oscars. I mean, come on, listen, I'm just being silly. I don't really know what the backstory is, but just fucking get over it, right? There's women out there going through real hardships.
Yeah, okay? Anybody who's acting and making money off it.
Yeah, there's women out there subject to Sharia law, working in sweat boxes in China and shit like that. You ladies have got it pretty fucking good. So don't step up there and stand there in your fucking $50,000 dresses, wearing $1 million in fucking diamonds around your neck and talk about the plight of being a fucking woman in this day and age. Because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, okay? Go fuck yourselves, bitches. Shit, shouldn't have said that. Edit that bit out. totally undermined myself at the end of it all.
I agree with you completely. And it is really... You know, and look, you act now, right? And you can admit this. It's pretty fucking elitist. When you go right now to do an acting class, or not an acting class, but a session with your very expensive acting coach, and then you drive into Hollywood and spend a lot of money to go do that, it's like, if you weren't in the position that you're in right now, you couldn't do that. You couldn't, it would be a very, very big struggle. And I know that there are struggling actors that are out there, but to be honest with you, I know a lot of actors. it's very rare that I know somebody that got into acting and started taking it very seriously where they didn't have a little bit of privilege in their life. They didn't have good parents, a good home, sort of some sort of foundation or something to fall back on. Very different than fighting or even comedy, where I see in comedy, there's a lot of people. That's because there's absolutely no barrier to entry. So you go on stage and open mic, boom, you buy a drink or $5, you're there. To get into a good acting class, it's a few hundred dollars minimum. To get into an audition class, another few hundred dollars minimum. To start putting things on tape, to get an agent, that process, it's a little bit of an elitist type of thing. And I just don't really feel bad for those people.
Yeah, you know, you bring up an interesting point. And by the way, this is because acting is very hard. To be a good actor is a tremendous skill that you have to work at. So, and by the way, what I just said, we're kind of having a laugh, okay? So if you get a little worked up over that, over women's rights and all the rest of it, I'm all for women's rights. Just don't be a fucking melodramatic
ass. I'm for women's rights that actually need it, not these rich Hollywood bitches. Yes.
There you go. Thank you very much. But, you know, sometimes, like, you know, I'll look at... you know, sometimes I've gone for an audition and somebody else got it. So I look them up to see, you know, see what their background is and things like that. And as you said, they're always, more often than not, their parents were actors or they graduated from some drama school in London or whatever. So it is kind of
conservatory.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's tough to break into. It's very, very hard. But the reason being is because the reward is fantastic. Like I did an audition for a movie that I'm supposedly quite close to getting. It's a big role for a big blockbuster Hollywood movie. And I'm very excited about it, you know, and I keep checking with my agent every day. I did a good audition and the casting agent is recommending me to the director, but we're still waiting to see how that pans out. And the reason I'm checking all the time is because it's fucking fun. You know what I mean? It's great. It's like people say, why do you want to be an actor? It's like, well, dude, I get to go away to some exotic location. I get to run around with guns because generally the stuff I do is all action stuff. Run around, play a fucking make-believe character, be a badass, shoot guns, beat people up on screen and stuff like that. And you get paid well and you get seen doing it by the public. It's a great gig, but it's very hard. It's very, very competitive. So congratulations to everyone that won at the weekend. And if you give a fuck about what I say, if you're offended by what I say, then I apologize. Yeah. But I couldn't really give a fuck.
It's just like, it's like if you were bitching about it, you're like, oh man, I got to go to this exotic location and I got to get recognized by everybody. It would just make me like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. My mom was a heroin addict. She was a fucking hairdresser. Jesus Christ. I mean, like, have a little bit of self-awareness.
They got nothing better to moan about. They've got nothing bad going on in their life, so they're going to try and do it for all these women that they're only up for nominations for an Oscar. They didn't win the Oscar, for crying out loud. Anyway, moving on from that quickly before I say something I really regret.
Mike, let's take a quick second and talk about Ridge, which is our incredible wallet sponsor. We love the Ridge wallet. Maybe you're sitting in an old clunky leather wallet filled with tons of pieces of paper, receipts, gum wrappers, extra cards, business cards, things you're never going to even look at again. We have like a junk drawer in our pocket, and the Ridge has made me realize how much having a nice, clean, neat, sleek wallet means to me. It really makes my day. Every time I open up my wallet, I feel a little bit more together.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, you might be thinking, hold on a minute. I need those business cards. I need my contacts. Here's another life hack for you. I'm going to blow your mind. You're going to go out there. You're going to buy the Ridge wallet. You're going to look contemporary. You're going to look forward thinking. You're going to look stylish. But what about those business cards? Here you go. All you do, the man gives you the business card. You take a snap of it on your phone. You've forever got the business card on your phone. The number's always there. It's never going to crease. It's always going to look good. And you are not filling up your wallet with shit. You're not filling up your pockets with crappy wallets. You're going to look outdated. You're not going to be able to attract any kind of attention from the opposite sex, Lewis.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, if you really are married to this idea of taking someone's business card and keeping it, it does fit in the Ridge wallet. I will tell you right now, you could probably fit a business card or two in your Ridge wallet because it's the perfect size. It's the size of a credit card. You slide your cards right into it. It has a little money clip. If you want to slip a little business card or two in there, that's fine as well. They have so many different styles. Okay. When you go to the website is ridge.com. When you go to the website, look up all their different styles. Okay. They have the one with the band. They have the one with the money clip. They have titanium, carbon fiber, aluminum, over a dozen different styles and colors. So really, whatever your style, whatever your speed is, they got something for you.
Let me tell you this, whatever your style is, I'm not interested in. But most people these days, Lewis, you know, I get a lot of people bust my balls, but I like to wear You know, not skinny jeans, but tight fitting jeans. You know what I mean? Because it's stylish, it's cool. That's what looks good, in my opinion. Baggy jeans, no. Nobody wants the baggy jeans. But if you put in one of those old fashioned wallets, big, fat, chunky, brown wallet with all the shit in, it stands out. You look deformed, you look weird. It accentuates how tight and skinny the jeans are, but not the ridge, baby boy. That just slides in. And as you just mentioned, mind blown. You can put business cards in there as well. Don't take pictures on your phone. Put them in your ridge wallet alongside your keys, your cards, and your money clip at the back. Tell them about the offer one more time, Lewis.
Pretty incredible deal right now. 10% off today with free worldwide shipping and returns. If you don't like it, you can return this bad boy for free. All you got to do is go to ridge.com/BYM. That is RIDGE.com/BYM. Or if you click the link in the episode description, simply use the promo code BYM. Save yourself 10% off your next Ridge wallet. All right, let's get back into it. You told me that, because I mentioned to you earlier that James admitted to me that he likes a girl, which the moment where your little boy admits that he likes a girl, you know, not to be homophobic or anything, but, you know, let's get real. It's a nice little breath of fresh air. You're like, whew. Not that I would love my son. I would love my son. I would love my son's boyfriend.
Listen. I'm just saying, I thought that's the way it was trending. I look at James, sweet kid. Nice kid, like him a lot, very smart. I see him on those instruments. You know, he's definitely got, you know, he's definitely got a little flair. He's a little, you know, he definitely might be batting for that side. But no, you're wrong. I was wrong. He's heterosexual. That's fantastic. Lucas, or same thing. Yes,
he could be bisexual. We don't know.
You never know. And listen, whatever floats your boat in this day and age, I couldn't care less who you do, when you do it, or what you're doing to them, as long as you're not doing something they don't want. So more power to you. No, Lucas just recently, he has it's not a love interest, like they're in the friend zone, but like, and I won't say a name, but anytime like she's on the scene, he's a different person. He's found out that this girl is at school pretty early. So now Lucas, ever since then, he sets an alarm himself at 6 a.m. every morning. He gets dressed and he's downstairs. He's like, come on, let's get to school, because he wants that 10, 15 minutes in the playground before they go in to hang out, you know?
Did he admit this to you, that he likes this girl, or you're just deducing?
No. So I spoke to him, you know what I mean? But you got to be careful, because otherwise they clam up, you know what I mean? So I'm like, so where, you kind of like this girl? He's like, yeah. I said, but like, you kind of like, you know. He's like, yeah, you know, a little bit more as friends. He's like, yeah. I said, is she good looking? He's like, yeah. I said, does she like you? He's like, nah, I think so. I'm like, oh, we're blessed. That's so sweet. And then they just play. You know what I mean? They FaceTime each other on the iPads all the time. They're climbing trees. They're doing all kinds of stuff. Aww. They're hanging out. They're having fun. Very sweet. It's very, very innocent, Lewis.
Yeah, not like me. When I was that age, I was already trying to get girls pregnant.
When did you lose your virginity?
No, I'm kidding. I was 16. A few days after my 16th birthday. Yeah, but my son, kind of similar. Yeah. So, no, here's what happened. It was Valentine's Day is coming up. So I said to him, sort of, you know, half joking, I was like, oh, you got any girl you want to make your Valentine? And he goes, no. And I was like, okay. I mean, you know, if you like a girl, that's okay. You know,
He's like, that's what I said.
And then I was like, yeah, when I was your age, I liked my first girl. And I was like, your Aunt Jenny, she would make fun of me. She'd be like, you like a girl. And then I started cracking up.
My mom used to do it all the time. And it used to just make me clam up. I couldn't talk about girls in our house at all.
Up until maybe the sixth grade that I wasn't comfortable admitting that I liked girls. Up until really.
It almost never came for me. You know what I mean? Because my mum was such a cow about it. And my dad, there was this little Pakistani girl called Ifat, right? Michael liked Ifat. I didn't like Ifat, okay? I did not like Ifat. If anything, it was the opposite, okay? Ifat was not a good-looking girl. She didn't smell good. She didn't look good, okay? Ifat was not my type. But my mum would go on. Michael likes Ifat. And I was like, ooh. And anytime like I mentioned the girl, she go, ooh, look at Michael. He's in love and stuff like that. And it just used to drive.
It damages you.
Crazy.
It changes you. It makes you go like, okay, well, now I'm embarrassed at home. I shouldn't be embarrassed, to be honest. And I didn't want to do that with my son. I didn't want to make him have that feeling of like, I don't want to be able to be honest. So I told him that to sort of, you know, I wanted him to relate to sort of that embarrassed feeling. And so he started laughing about that. And I was like, yeah, so, you know, I like the girl. I was like, but, you know, that's, and then he goes, well, maybe I like a girl. And then I was like, oh, really? And then he was like, yeah. And then I was like, then he told me who. And I knew who the little girl is because I know I like the kids in his class because we go to the school a lot. And yeah, cute little girl. And he was like, yeah, I like her. Now he calls her his girlfriend, even though she doesn't know it's his girlfriend.
Oh, man, you might need to have a chat with James about setting boundaries. Okay?
He's a Gomez. Just because, you get in there, you hey, take it.
You do not fucking claim women like that, okay? This is 2020, okay? James needs to know this is not Neanderthal times. He can't walk up with a fucking club over the head, chuck her over her shoulder and take her back to the cave like you would have done.
That's how I met his mom.
You got to charm the girl. You got to be nice. You got to take her out for flowers. Maybe on Valentine's Day, send a nice card, which is coming up this Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I told him. I was like, maybe you give her a card. He's a little bit like whatever about it, but it was cute. Now he just wants to tell everyone. Now he wants to tell his mom, his aunt, you know. So it's stupid.
But hold on. Is the feeling reciprocated, though?
I don't think so. I don't think this girl has any idea that.
Doesn't even know he exists.
She doesn't know they're in a relationship. They are in a very serious relationship, according to him. And this little girl has no idea. But it's cute. I mean, I remember when I was that age, I didn't really like a girl that age. It wasn't any one girl. My first real crush was like the third or the fourth grade, Ruthie Rivera. If you're listening, Ruthie, you're the one that got away.
First kiss. How old were you when you first properly kissed a girl? For me, there was this girl I kind of liked. I didn't like her. Certainly when you grow up and you look back at people that you used to like as kids, it's like, whoa, Jesus Louises. My God, she did not age well. Anyway, and I think I was the last year at primary school, so that would have made me about 10 years old. Me and my buddy Carl Townsend and these two girls ended up in this house, and we played Spin the Bottle. Right, you know,
the old spin the bottle.
And anyway, and it landed on her, and then it landed on me, and I thought, great. And I just went up, and I'd never kissed a girl anything in my life. Do you know what I mean? I was very inexperienced with girls, and I went up, I did that, and she stuck her tongue in my mouth.
Yes,
and
she did.
I was all shocked and disgusted, and I was so embarrassed. I thought, fuck, that was my reaction. You fucking loser.
Yeah, and what happened?
Nothing. That was that.
Very sentimental music. Thank you, Brian.
That one didn't fit. I like that. A for effort, though, Brian. I like your style.
Yeah, my first girl that I kissed, I think it was the seventh grade. Janine McIntyre was the girl. Still in touch with her to this day.
Janine.
Good old Janine.
Good looking girl, if I remember rightly.
She was all right. We were right for each other. I will say that much. But yeah, it was just a very like we were supposed to close eyes, but it was both of our eyes were open and we just had our mouths open and just fucking tongues flicking all over the place. It was just gross and not what it's supposed to be. It's like for like 10 seconds and we walked away and, you know.
It is Valentine's Day coming up. Did you send Valentine's Day cards at school? Did you get any? I never got a single Valentine's Day card ever. And it broke my heart. It did. I used to sit there, the other kids, and they'd be all full of glee and happiness and excitement, a little glint in their eye. And they'd open the card and they'd turn around and they'd see. They knew who it was who sent it, you know, and they'd exchange a look, a glance, and I'd just be there at the front of the classroom looking and hoping and praying and imagining what a fantastic feeling that would have been. But alas, I never received a Valentine's Day card.
Yeah, I didn't really. They were required where I grew up. Like, everyone had to give everyone a Valentine's Day card, right? You couldn't leave people out. And I remember the one girl that I didn't like, Marlene Arroyo, I gave her the ugliest card. I remember I specifically gave her this fucking weird looking like Christian Catholic card with a woman's face on it. It was so weird.
Hold on. What kind of weird school insists that everybody gives everybody a Valentine's Day card?
What type of weird school would let a little Michael Bisping have his heart broken and probably turn him into a fucking sociopathic cage fighter? If you got that Valentine's Day card, you would have never needed to prove yourself by beating people up at a cage.
Well, to be honest, that is probably one of the reasons why I started doing it. I'm like, listen, I am better than these mere morsels, okay? Take a look at this shit. Boom, boom, boom. You sure you don't want to give me that card? No, listen, you can't. Listen, unfortunately, in this day and age, Lewis, not everybody gets a trophy. You know, that is what's wrong with the world today, making sure that everyone gets a card. No, I don't mind that.
I disagree. I agree with the certain sentiment that I don't think that everyone should get a trophy. I don't think that you should teach everyone that everyone's equal. I think people should feel special and should figure out what they're special at. However, you know, you get a kid who, you know, a little girl who, especially a little girl, like guys are one thing. We built thick skins to this shit. Like, no, I never got a fucking Valentine. No girls were really liking me like that in elementary school, but who fucking cares? I became a professional comedian. I crush pussy all the time now. Who gives a fuck, right? Former UFC middleweight champion. Who gives a fuck about that Valentine's Day card? You know what you could do? Go out to fucking Vegas. You'll have five girls following you around in an hour. Get the fuck out of here, all right? What are those losers from our elementary school doing now? Nothing. However, you know, you do need to, I do like the fact that they did that. I thought about this before. When I was in elementary, in kindergarten, my first day of school, they allowed us to pick our seats. When are you there? What's going on?
Carry on. Rebecca's just walking in to make me a coffee. Just listen to Lewis a minute, and then we'll see what Rebecca thinks. But carry on, Lewis.
Ow! Rebecca Bisping!
Can you
animate like my eyes popping under my head, Brian, like a tongue, like a tie spinning around or something, like a cartoon dog?
Why is he talking this
way? Just carry on with the story. Stop being inappropriate to my significant other.
I was saying in elementary school, in kindergarten, they let us pick our tables, like where we would sit. We walked in the first day, you had to just pick which table. Essentially, you picked who you're going to be friends with and sit with for the year. That was like your seat. And this is before there was any of that sort of like make everyone equal thing. And I remember, dude, all of the tables were racially segregated. It was a little table of white kids, a little table of black kids, a little table of Hispanic kids. And to be honest with you, I mean, yeah, I understand now why they wouldn't want to do that. I understand why they tried at the very least.
Do what?
Just you want to mix it up. You want these kids to be able to sort of experience different cultures. The reason that a five-year-old chooses to sit with other kids that look like him is not because he's racist or because he wants to, he thinks that he's superior or his people are superior. It's because he's comfortable and he sees these people that look like his family members, his cousins, his brothers, his sisters, and they go, oh, that feels good to me. But you should want people to be a little bit out of their comfort zone, especially in those formative
years. What are you talking about right now? A second ago, we were having an upbeat discussion about Valentine's Day cards, and now you're talking about child segregation. Racial separation and things like that. What is going on in your mind right now?
If you were listening to me, you wouldn't have called Rebecca in the middle of the story.
I thought we were talking about this. No. I mean, she walked off because she's getting a brew, and I wanted to talk to her about Valentine's Day cards, right? And then you're going on about some social bloody racial segregation. I'm like, what is he on about right now?
Well, the point is, you were saying that, like, you know, you don't believe that everyone should have gotten a Valentine's Day card. I was just sort of saying, like, it was a different time back then. But I do understand why we do that now.
Well,
you don't think everyone should get a Valentine's Day card?
No, not unless they truly deserve one.
If they're good looking.
It's easy for Rebecca. It's easy for Rebecca because she was referred to as Sexy Sidwick when she was at school.
I didn't get any Valentines when I was at school.
No, but you were known as Sexy Sidwick, weren't you? Don't be humble.
Oh my God, shut up.
So, how many Valentine's Day cards did you get?
Zero, Michael.
You're a liar.
I'm not lying. Why would I lie?
Liar.
Well, I like that you guys are pretending you're not both gorgeous Hollywood fucking assholes. You don't get to have my plight of being an ugly, lonely, fat kid. You're both gorgeous people.
I have no interest from girls whatsoever when I was at school. I had no girlfriend. I didn't have a single girlfriend at school. When I left high school, not a single girl. No one was interested. Listen. It's true. It's true.
Fuck him.
That's a Donald Bear.
Yeah, no. That is true. I mean, I wasn't there, but he does say that a lot. I bet he does.
I was very immature. I still am now. About now, maturing to the age of like maybe a 25-year-old. Yeah. So when I was 15, I was like a fucking. I was just trying to be funny all the time and just annoyed the fuck out of everybody. And if anyone told me that I was annoying, then they got a dead arm or something. Do you know what I mean? So I wasn't everybody's favorite person, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think being being funny, I think later on in life is the sexy quality for a man. Being funny is a sign of intelligence, and I think women see that as being like, you know, being able to take care of them. There's this like, you know, subconscious, you know, natural thing in them that they're attracted to a funny person. But I think a young guy, it's the opposite, especially in school where you're like, you're not good in school, you're distracting everybody. It's this immature dickhead thing. It's the opposite.
I was always the class clown.
Yeah, me too.
The class clown. You know what I mean? Yeah, like not sophisticatedly funny, making little quips and funny jokes and sitting around a dinner table. It was just interrupting the class from the back of the room with some stupid shit, making fart noises or whatever, just like some stupid, stupid comment, you know what I mean, that I thought was hilarious. But
at school, though, I don't remember like liking the funny guys.
No.
What did you like?
It was the more mature one. So not the class clowns,
But I think that's what happens later on in life is when women later, as they meet men in life who are funny or sort of have that confidence and that security.
That definitely comes later. We do look for that later.
Yeah, because I think it's a sign later on, especially a guy who's sort of willing to be funny and charming in that moment. You go like, oh shit, this guy, it's a very cocksure thing. If you're at a dinner party and everyone's sort of laughing at this guy's jokes, you're like, oh shit, what does this guy fucking have that nobody else has? Versus in a classroom, Bisping's in the back going.
hey,
not that, the same thing.
That's some of my best material at a dinner party. Hey guys, you heard this one? Still get to laugh. All right, babe, I'll leave you to it. Thanks, darling. All right, bye bye.
She's too good for you.
She is too good for me. She's amazing. That's why she disappeared. She sold her wild oats in Australia. She's good now. She's back.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and talk about one of our incredible sponsors, which is CBDMD. CBDMD makes incredible all-natural CBD products. And if you don't know, CBD is the non-psychoactive chemical in marijuana. It does not get you high. It is designed to help you. It gets your body back into homeostasis. It is designed to help you with a multitude of afflictions. You might have something like arthritis or some anxiety, some sort of physical pain. Maybe you're having trouble sleeping. Maybe you're having trouble staying awake. To be honest with you, CBD might be the thing that can help you out.
Yeah, absolutely. If you suffer from acne, anxiety, like you said, arthritic pain, depression, inflammatory pain, nausea, vomiting associated with cancer, nerve-related pain, many, many different types of things that you're suffering with, albeit physical or mental, CBD has been proven to help time and time again. I've told this story before. My father came out here. He was walking on a cane. He could hardly walk. It was really depressing to see. Next time he came to see me after I gave him a ton of CBDMD, came back skipping about the place, pissing me off, wanting to go dancing. I'm exaggerating, but the fact is, no more cane, and he was walking fine. And he said, ever since I started taking the CBD, it has totally helped and got away. Fortunately, with CBDMD as well, there is a variety of ways for you to ingest the CBD. And of course, some of the best prices that you'll find per milligram on the market, all grown inside the USA. Lewis, tell the people about the fantastic offer that we have for them.
So it's already great prices. Already, you can just go to CBDMD and you're going to get some great prices. You're gonna love it. You're going to love the product. You're going to love the quality. But guess what? Fans of this show, we save you a little bit of extra cash. You want to save 10? No. 15? No. 20% on your CBD products.
20.
Go to CBDMD.com and use the promo code BYM20. You save 20% off your entire order. BYM20 is the promo code. CBDMD is the website. CBDMD.com is the website. Go do that right now. Get yourself feeling better. Make your family feel better. Change your life for the better. CBDMD.com.
All right, so what are we talking about then?
Well, hold on. You know what I want to talk about? Because do you know what you're doing with Rebecca on Friday for Valentine's Day yet?
Well, I'm going to be in Rio Rancho, which is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I go to all the best places. I believe Albuquerque is the meth capital of the country. Mm. Very excited to go there. Obviously, the scene of Breaking Bad. But there's a UFC fight on. So I'll be out there working the desk with Karen Bryant, not commentating, working the desk, old school, going back in style. But I won't even be here, Lewis. And I don't. You know, because this is the thing, you know, with Valentine's Day, it's become so commercialized, just like birthdays, Christmas. I always like to do something. I normally send a little bunch of flowers. Excuse me. But, oh, my God. But I send flowers sporadically all the time anyway. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily need Valentine's Day. Sometimes if I'm away traveling a lot, I'll just send a little bunch just to put a smile on her face or whatever. And she's actually told me, under no circumstances do I do anything for Valentine's Day this year. Is that right, Beck? Yeah, she says, right. I don't know them. But here's the thing, because they set the fucking trap, don't they? Don't get anything for Valentine's Day, and then you don't, and then they're like, they're a little sulky.
Of course. What is she getting you for Valentine's Day? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, what are you getting me for Valentine's Day, babe? What was the answer? See, but I do the same thing, though. I do the same thing at Christmas. Like this Christmas, I was like, she's like, what do you want for Christmas? And it's my birthday. It's my birthday in a couple of weeks. And it's like, what do you want? I'm like, nothing. Don't get me anything. Please do not go out there and spend money on shit we don't need. But if on the birthday, there's nothing, I mean, nothing. I'm like, what the fuck? Nothing?
What do you want?
Nothing?
What would you want for your birthday this year?
I said, because I can't run anymore, I want to buy myself a good bike. I said, so we're going to pick one together, you know, because she can't pick it because I know what I want. I said, and that can do as my birthday present because I want to start mountain biking properly, you know, like proper mountain biking. There's tons of trails around here. So yeah, maybe a bike, but that's normally I wouldn't want something as expensive. Normally I just say, here's what I always say, Christmas, birthdays, anything like that. Just get me a pair of trainers, a pair of shoes. You know, like a pair of Adidas shoes or a pair of Nike shoes. Boom, there you go. I'm a happy man. Get me a pair of Adidas or something like that. That's good for me. I'm happy.
You know what? I think I'm buying myself for, I guess it'll be a Valentine's Day / birthday gift. I'm going to buy myself. Yeah, I have no love in my life. Okay.
Whoa. You're buying yourself a Valentine's Day gift.
/ birthday. Yeah, if you don't love yourself, nobody's going to love you.
When's
right?
your birthday?
April 1st.
You know, it's February 14th. They don't coincide. They're not even close. They're separated by like 6 weeks.
That's pretty. So at the halfway point, 3 weeks after Valentine's Day, I'm going to buy myself a gift. I'm going to buy myself an Oculus Quest, I've decided.
Oh, Oculus Quest. I've got one down there.
You got one.
I've got one down
you
there.
You got one, you son
I've
of
got
a bitch.
It down there. I've got no. It's still in the box. I got it for Lucas's Christmas, but then I decided we got fucking far too much for him, so I kept that to one side. The Oculus Quest, the virtual reality thing. We got the Darth Vader game, you know, whatever it was, Vader's Quest or something like that. Yeah, we got the Star Wars edition. It was like $500. I'm like, because I just saw it. I saw it a few days before Christmas, and I thought, oh my god. That looks cool. Like the sickest thing ever. I'm going to buy one. And then I thought, no, that's ridiculous. So I'm saving it for his birthday. But it's kind of for me. You know what I mean? So there you go.
So when are you giving it to him?
Happy birthday.
When's Lucas' birthday?
Oh, God. Here we go. May 14th.
Jesus Christ.
May 14th, I think. April 25th, 5th of February, May 14th. Yeah, May 14th.
I'm such a child. I couldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't be able to just put it away and not get, like, I don't have the patience to do that. And it is really fun, dude. There's some fun games. There's like a fun, like beat game where you have to like hit, like with swords, you got to like hit these things with the beats. It's really fucking cool. Really fun. And there's just like, I brought my son to the mall like 2 weekends ago, and there's like this big virtual reality place where it's like rides, where it's almost like a roller coaster that goes upside down, but you just have a mask on, and he really got a kick out of it. But I think with the kids, they're supposed to be like 12 or 13 before they start using it regularly. You got to look into that. That's on. What they say. I don't know. It's going to fuck up with their brain development, whatever.
Oh, yeah. What do they know? Scientists and shit. Come on. I used to be UFC middleweight champion of the world. I know a thing or two about brain function, okay?
Meanwhile, lights are flashing over here.
Fucking epileptic fits for days. No, I've got it down there. I can't wait to play it, actually. It looks very, very cool. You know, you just mentioned you took James somewhere. I took Lucas to an escape room recently. You ever done one of those? Did I speak about this?
We touched on it. I did bring my son to the Wits one at the mall. It's a pretty cool one. They're like high tech. They have like computers and shit. But I've been to a few of them. They're fun.
Fun? Not my idea of fun. Total fucking nerds have to be into them. I couldn't do it. I was losing my shit. I was listen, it's hard. Then when the woman said, to be fair, because as I left, it was we had to keep getting hints, and she said, no, this is the hardest one. This is the hardest one. Experienced escape roomers struggled with this one. So you went into the deep end. But yeah, no, not my idea of a good time, I'll be honest. I wanted out of there pronto, pretty fast.
Yeah, there's one called the Five Wits, which is, it's probably more your speed. It's, you know, it's for little kids.
Easy. Okay, so I believe we have a little fun segment with our old producer, Shannon. Is she around? Can we go through this? Are we going to go through with this? So Lewis said,
there's a little bit of a theme of friendly competition on this show. Like, we're doing our body transformation challenge right now. We've had other things. I mean, dog, you don't want to get into the bicep competition. You want to talk about abs? Oh. Fine. You want to talk about abs all day. You ain't coming with me with biceps, doggy.
I messed up at the weekend. I told you I got down to 214 pounds at one point, and I got on the scale today 222. Ugh, water fluctuation is a thing with me. Listen, you've got good biceps. You do.
Yeah.
You know, but they're also surrounded by a lot of fat and flab.
It's true.
Okay, I'm just saying that's part of the reason for the bulk. Hi, Shannon. You're looking well.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, look at
Shannon. I'm very, very good. You're all dressed up for Valentine's Day.
That's right.
Have you been inundated with requests and courtiers or courters to take you out?
No, not a single
Come
one.
On.
I just got a dick pic a second ago. Aside from that, no.
Is it a nice dick pic?
It's okay. The guy actually, if he wouldn't have sent me a dick pic, I would have considered having a conversation with him, but I don't like that he just sent me a nude picture.
Just out of nowhere sent the dick pic.
Yeah.
Not a good move. Not a good move. You got to build up to the dick pic, but can you just break down for me what, you know, makes a good dick pic? Just for the viewers, because they might want to send that. This is vital information. What separates a good dick pic from a bad dick pic?
Two parts, actually. Forget not just what separates a good dick pic from a bad dick pic, but also, at what point is it appropriate to send said dick pic? Because I will tell you what I usually do is I just wait for her to send the dirty picture first, and then I'm like, all right, open fucking field. Then anytime she opens her phone, it just might be a dick pic for me.
I would say, first of all, just an unsolicited dick pic from a stranger, it's whatever. It's just going to be made fun of. I'm not going to look at it in a sexual way. But aside from that, I'd say once you get into dirty talking and text message or anything like that, then it's okay to send a dick pic.
There you go. That's the move. And should you ask, should you say, hey, can I send you my dick pic?
I guess
no,
she can.
No, because that's super lame. Hey, can I send you something? No, you just got to do it. The shock value, the surprise of it. She opens it up. She sees it. Okay, maybe a little too veiny for some people's liking, but still, the surprise, the element of surprise, that works.
I think Biz being said it best.
Or how about this? Even go a little further, like use misdirection. You'd be like, hey, would you like to see a picture of my son performing in a play? And then it's just a dick pic.
It's a terrible idea.
Would you like to see a picture of my son performing in a play? The play is called I Enter You, and there's the leading role.
What do you want to see in a dick pic now? If you're getting a dick pic, explain to me what we should be doing. This is actually great advice for the believers. Look, guys, for FYI, we did an MMA show yesterday, all MMA. We decided we're going a little bit more immature, a little bit off the unbeaten path today.
Listen, never let it be said that we don't give advice to our people. We've got the great Shannon, the host of the Thing Is podcast. She's joining us. And listen, your dick pics to Shannon. Send them through to her. She'll grade them from 1 to 10. She'll talk about the lighting, the thickness, the girth, the length, all that type of stuff. And she'll give you some very well-needed feedback. Right, Shannon?
Sure.
Give me some do's and do nots. Okay, so give me a do for a dick pic.
Do have a good angle.
Do have a good angle.
Yeah. Don't have a girl holding the dick.
Don't have a girl holding the dick. That makes you like, that doesn't make you feel like, oh, this guy's in demand?
No. I don't want to have like another chick have anything to do with it. At least for the process, at least as like an illusion, just have your dick and your hand maybe, no chick parts.
What about a guy holding the dick?
No. Smart. Also no. For me, no.
You know, fun time in the bedroom.
Do you want a video or do you want a picture?
I think a picture.
What about a boomerang?
What about like a boomerang of just like a little jerk?
Oh, I've never received one of those, so well. I don't know.
Guys, believers, there you go. A boomerang of you jerking yourself off, send it into Shannon at bybympod@gmail.com. There you go.
Yeah, what if you do like a little, like a kitty cat filter on the dick where it has ears?
That might be cute.
Does that work?
These are very creative. I haven't gotten any of these.
Okay, so, all right. So, but now, what about, should they show some perspective? Like maybe sitting it next to like, you know, an iPhone 10. Or
the main one I talk about all the time is the one next to a water bottle, and that gave me, it made me understand how big his penis was,
and that worked. That was good. So you wanted big.
Yeah, I had sex with him.
Wow.
Context.
Yeah.
So what if I get a really small water bottle, like one of those little miniature ones, and I just like slay it right next to it? It was like,
and then it makes your dick look huge,
fucking massive.
That could work.
I put it through the window of a dollhouse. It's coming for you, right?
It's a great idea, guys.
Oh God!
All right, Mr. Bisping, we gotta talk about BetDSI. Our fans love MMA. Our fans listen to the show because they love the sport. And let me tell you something: if there's one thing that's going to make you love the sport of mixed martial arts even more, is having something on the line, having a horse in the race, having some stake in the game. Right? Let me tell you something: go bet $20 right now with your best friend on, if you were to flip a coin, and say, "I'll put $20 that it's going to land on heads." Guess what? Your eyes are going to be glued to that goddamn coin. It is going to be the most exciting coin flip you've ever seen in your entire life. Now you take a sport like mixed martial arts, you can only imagine how exciting you can make it.
But if you were to flip that coin alongside a sport of mixed martial arts, and you were to do it alongside a company that has built a reputation on fast winnings, that has customer service available 24/7, 365, and a company that has over 5,000 five-star reviews on their website, on their platform, then that would be the way to go, Lewis, because you don't want to go with some company that, you know, keeps your money, hoards your money, and doesn't pay their people, tries to make you jump through legal loopholes to get paid. No, you want a company that has a fast history of payments, Lewis.
Of course. Let me tell you something. BetDSI is probably the one company you've heard of that you gamble with online. They've been in business for over 20 years. It's the reason you've heard of them is because they're reputable. The reason you've heard of them is because people keep on going back there. You don't want to meet some weird guy at the back of an Italian restaurant and slide him a piece of paper with your bets on it underneath the table. That's a shady way of living your life, okay? BetDSI.com is the way to do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, we do some pretty incredible stuff, okay? I won a shit ton of money this past weekend. I put money on Valentina Shevchenko to have a TKO, which she ended up getting. Ended up walking out with nearly $700 in profit. Thank you very much, BetDSI. If you use the promo code BYM120, we give you a 60% bonus match up to $1,000. Now, Bisping, look, I'm just a simple-minded Puerto Rican boy from New York City. I didn't have much of an education, public school. Mr. Bisping, you're a count. You're royalty, basically. The math skills of Michael Bisping are really second to none. Let's just say you were to bet $500 and use that promo code BYM120 with a 60% bonus match. Michael Bisping, how much would you be playing with?
How much was the bonus match?
60%, $500.
Okay, 500. Divided. Five. So you bet 500, you win 500. That is 1,000, and then you've got the 60%, which is $1,300, baby boy. What is going on? I've just had my coffee. My brain's starting to kick in. You're going to get rich. No?
800.
No, yeah, but plus the 5 that you bet. Mm. You get your stake back. 800 plus 5 is 1,300.
No. I mean, I don't want to argue with you on this.
Fuck. No, you put 500 down, you win 800, plus you get your 500
back. Why would you win 800? We don't even know what we're betting on. There's no odds here. If you put $500 down, you get to play with $800. Stop making it confusing, okay. Michael Bisping.
Okay, give me another one.
Make it nice and simple. $10.
Oh, Jesus Christ, don't come at me with your $16 bullshit. Give me another one. A hard one.
Just tap it in.
Tap it into your face. Go to BetDSI.com. Use the promo code. What's the code, Lewis?
BYM120, 60% bonus match. Go do it now. Let them know we sent you and enjoy the fights this weekend.
All right, what are we doing? What's going on here?
All right, so
Lewis came up with this idea. I didn't sign off on it, but whatever, Lewis. Break it down for the people.
Well, we do compete a lot. And to be honest with you, I feel like Michael Bisping, being a former UFC middleweight champion, being very handsome, movie star, abs, blah, blah, blah. He's got a lot of advantages in the world of dating, except he's out of practice, been in a relationship for 20 years, faithfully married. There's a good guy right here. So I have this theory that I probably would be better at dating than Michael Bisping. Michael Bisping, of course, disagrees. So I decided that we're going to use Shannon. This is going to be the ideal Valentine's Day date. And we're going to both set up different parts of the date. And then Shannon can choose who wins and who would give the better date. And Shannon, I know you want to fuck Michael Bisping, okay? His wife's in the house right now.
Rebecca's a beautiful, wonderful woman.
Lewis, why are you going to make it weird? Why would you say such a thing? Don't disrespect Shannon like that. Come on, she's looking good. You've lost weight, Shannon. Are you still on that? What diet is it? Keto? Are you still doing that?
No, the opposite. Plant-based. Vegan. I'm a vegan now.
That's right. You've gone vegan. How did you feel about Joaquin Phoenix talking about the cow's milk?
I didn't hate it.
Taken away from them.
I didn't really? Hate it. Yeah, I thought it was a good message.
A fucking homeless, fucking starving, freezing children round the fucking corner. But no,
also
leave the milk. Leave the milk. But fuck the homeless. Anyway, carry on. Where were we? What were we talking about? Hold on. Fill Shannon in real quick. I am dying for.
I'm gonna fill her in. I'm gonna fill her in at the end of this date. Don't you worry. Go pee. Bisping, I'll do plugs. Guys, really quick, if you love the show, we know you do. Go subscribe right now on our iTunes page. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. If you're on Stitcher, you can do the same. Google Play, any of that stuff. Our YouTube channel thriving. If you guys want a notification, just subscribe to our YouTube channel. Every time our brand new episodes are coming out, the video versions, they're all available on our YouTube channel. And if you guys want access to the entire on-demand library, every episode of the Believe You Me podcast, beyond the latest 30 episodes. The latest 30 episodes are on iTunes and YouTube and everywhere else, but the entire on-demand library, this is episode 199, I believe. It's available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM. Get a 14-day free trial. All emails, bympod@gmail.com. And really, if you want to get everything in one nice, concise place, believeyoumepod.com is the website. You can get everything right there. You can subscribe for everything, links to everything, pictures, videos, all that good stuff. So make sure you go do that and tell some friends about the pod as well. That's really the most important thing, is you sharing the podcast with your friends. Go to Reddit, go to Twitter, share the latest episodes, tag us. Let me tell you something. When you guys share the episodes on all those platforms, we fucking notice it, and we really do. We really appreciate it more than you would ever possibly imagine. It's the biggest part of this entire thing is you guys sharing. The reason podcasting is such an amazing industry is because it's so shareable. You guys can click a button and share it with your friend. So do that. It really means a lot to us. So, Shannon.
Yes.
We're going to walk you through our date. So we're going to do three parts, Bisping. We pick her up. We take her to food. Then number two, we take her on some sort of activity. And number three,
whoa. Don't tell me how I'm going to structure my date. You know what I mean? Don't sit there and tell me I'm going to pick her up and take her for food. Not everything revolves around food, okay? Maybe it's about a romantic time connecting the souls, talking about your similar interests, you know what I mean? Going for a little stroll, maybe looking at some art, you know what I mean? Don't dictate to me how I will take Shannon.
Bisping's gonna,
okay?
He's gonna drive 3 blocks and push your head down as he pulls over.
Come on, Lewis, let's hear from you. I've got no idea, by the way. I've given this zero thought.
Neither have I.
I just found out about this.
But what I'm all saying right, is we on, should Lewis. Go tit for tat, though. So if we do it in three sections, okay. I'm trying to give the structure. So we pick her up, we take her to dinner, we do something fun, and then we end the night how the night ends, okay? So we just go tit for tat. So you go first. Where you're going to pick her up, text?
No, you go first. You go. This is your idea. You thought of this while you're thinking, while you're saying your first bit, I need to think of something. So you go first. You go ahead, baby boy.
All right, Shannon.
Yes.
I would, first thing first, I would send you an Uber XL.
Fancy.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously, fancy. I'm not going to go with that. I'm not going to go with an Uber pool. I'll send you an Uber pool. Be a Dominican guy sitting there waiting for you to enter the car.
A Lyft.
Yeah, I'd send you an Uber XL. Very nice. Okay. There would be... I'm going to say I'm not going to have flowers waiting for you. Because I got to be honest with you, flowers on a date like that...
Cliche.
annoying.
It's very annoying. You have to carry it.
You gotta carry them. Actually, you know what I would do? Shannon, the doorbell rings. Boom. There's a guy with flowers. It's Harrington. I paid Harrington.
Now he knows where I live.
To bring you flowers. It's not great. It's not,
yeah. You're fucked. I was going to be there every single day. Every day. Hi, Shannon. I just happened to be here at 6 a.m. looking through your window.
Harrington brings you flowers. Harrington's also the Uber driver. Okay. Now you're hanging out with Harrington. 35 minutes. 35 minutes.
What are the chances of
traffic?
You're like you and a guy like me, one in a million. So you're saying there's a chance.
Then he would drop you off and we would go to a Brazilian steakhouse. All you could eat steak. Now I know you're doing vegan.
No, you don't eat meat.
But No.
I'm a big meat eater. I gotta have protein. I'm working out a lot, motherfucker.
Hey, listen, we get it. You're a big, virile, strong man, okay? Forward-thinking man of 2020. You're going to take the beautiful Shannon to an all-you-can-eat buffet, you fucking cheap bastard.
First of all,
if you want a nice steak, take her to a nice steakhouse. You don't take it to Fogo de Chao, right? A fucking all-you-can-eat buffet, like, over here. Keep that fucking meat coming. Keep it piling up. That's it. Don't stop. Yep, more. Come on, love. It's free. Eat as much as you want. Have it. Come on. It's fucking free.
You also get unlimited salad bar, Shannon. So you can enjoy the salad bar unlimited. I'm going to eat tons and tons of meat. My breath is going to just stink of beef. Just the whole night. All you can do is just smell the beef on my breath. And also, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now, Bisping, because I'll let you know how the sausage is made, okay? I'm getting in Shannon's head very early in the night. She's like, this guy doesn't give a fuck about me. I'm negging her. I'm making her feel like she ain't shit. This is how you get Shannon in bed. I'm letting everyone know. I know Shannon has low self-esteem. You break her down psychologically, emotionally all through the night. And in the beginning, it's just going to start off with this very off, very terrible off-putting experience. So, all right, we have dinner. Bisping, what do you do?
What do I do? Well, I don't take her to a shitty all-you-can-eat buffet, okay? That was me. Listen, I don't, you know, I mean,
you
maybe
up
I wouldn't send Harrington.
In the Maserati? Oh, you don't have the Maserati anymore.
I got rid of the Maserati. I can't afford it anymore. Look at the face. Not a good start. Are you saying that Shannon is materialistic? And if I don't pick her up in anything better than an Uber XL, then you're going to win? My God. For me, I'm old school. In my mind, February, it's a nice warm summer's night. And we're just going to stroll. I'm going to knock on the door. I'm going to, hi, how are you? Come on, let's take a walk. I'm going to walk down the street.
Around
maybe
Staten
hand
Island.
In hand. On this occasion, I flew her to Barcelona. Okay, right. We're in Barcelona. Okay, it's a nice summer's night. What? Okay, we're walking down the quayside. There's performers, there's street artists, there's people coming up trying to draw pictures of us, caricatures. I'm like, no, we don't do that. We don't go in for all the tacky shit. But we'll walk through, we'll look at it, and we'll just be our senses and sights will be dazzled by all the performers and the bubbles and the lights and the sunset and the breeze, just nicely keeping us cool.
You know, Barcelona.
A nice romantic walk down the harbor in Barcelona.
All right. Okay. All right. Fine. Or where are you taking her to dinner?
I don't live in fucking New York City, motherfucker. Okay. Sorry. We're in Santa Monica. We're walking down the beach in Santa Monica by the sunset.
Just keep it Barcelona. You don't. There's no rules here. You're in Barcelona. Fuck it.
Okay, we're in Monaco. Okay. Well, next.
Okay, so we finished dinner. Outside, stretched Rolls Royce waiting for us. Okay. Drives us to our private
alert.
Private jet hangar. Yeah. Oh yeah. Private jet hangar. On the jet, President Obama. We're having a personal cocktail with former President Obama. Very interesting conversation. He flies us to our own private island where, who's that artist that you like?
Amos Lee.
Amos Lee is playing a personal private show on the beach of a Hawaiian island. A volcano's going off in the background, okay? And I let it happen. I was like, Shannon, you know what? Make love to Amos Lee. Shannon makes loves to Amos Lee for 3 hours in front of me as I masturbate. Viciously. We're all coming. Go ahead, Bisping.
Well, listen.
Your turn.
No. It's okay. You're forgetting this woman is impressed by such things. All of the
so meetings,
the private jets. This is not the lady that we know and love, okay? Me and Shannon, we walk through the streets of Barcelona. We stop and we speak to some little children. We whisper in their ears some advice that they live their life by forever, okay? We give them a few shillings, a few coins to ease the sadness in their household, okay? Then we go to a bullfight in Barcelona because it's a big deal there. But we step in. We jump into the middle of the arena. We're like, no, stop this. Stop this madness now. Think of the cows. Think of the milk.
Wow.
Okay? And then from nowhere, the world's most famous vegans appear. Ellen DeGeneres, fucking Phoenix, Woody Harrelson. I mean, Morrissey, Moby. They all come out of the shadows.
They start holding hands and singing.
We unite whilst holding hands around the cow, okay? And we save that fucking cow, and we pick her up, we take her to a field, she eats grass, we give her water. Now, the homeless people that were going to feed on the cow after it was murdered, they die, okay? Those people die, but the cow is good. The cow is saved, and Joaquin Phoenix, Ellen DeGeneres are even happier. That's what I do.
Okay. Shannon, you got to choose.
No. It's still only halfway through the day, Lewis. Yeah. That's the end.
It's another portion.
We're halfway through. There's an end there, like a weird handhold with Woody Harrelson on one side and Joaquin Phoenix there. I'm like, this is not what I wanted to be going home with tonight, okay? Where the fuck is Shannon?
Okay. So, Amos Lee has made you come 6 times in front of a volcano. You're on the beach, okay? We're all crying, just tears of joy, okay? Just tears of joy. Me and Amos Lee start kissing deeply and passionately.
This is so weird.
I know, it's gotten crazy. I don't even know why I'm there at this point. I'm like, what was happening? I didn't even expect this, okay? Me and Amos Lee, we're making love. We're just going back and forth. Shannon's masturbating while she watches us, okay? At that point, what's his name? Fucking The Rock. The Rock shows up on a man-made ship. Yeah, a man-made ship like Joan.
In my mind, for me, Shannon, she's not about materialistic things. And you know, yes, okay, a hard body with chiseled abs and veins and good looks, all the. I mean, yes, okay, but she doesn't go in for these superficial things. In my mind, Jack Black walks out of the bushes with his shirt off, okay, and starts singing a song with a little ukulele, and we sit around, we have a campfire, and we start having a jolly old time, okay.
You know what? Shannon's out of this fantasy. How about me, you, The Rock, Amos Lee, Jack Black, Joaquin Phoenix? We get our own private island. We get fucking crazy, baby boy.
Order some cows and have a good old-fashioned barbecue.
Dude, we're going to fucking kill some cows, get some cocaine. Let's get fucking crazy on this island.
Let's go, baby boy. I'm in. Oh, shit.
All right, Shannon.
Which one you going with, Shannon? Eat wisely. I know Lewis is your boss, but come on. Think of the cows.
Think about Amos Lee making love to you in front of a volcano.
And Lewis did pick two of them.
Have you ever been to Barcelona?
I have not.
I bought you a private island.
Hawaii is on my bucket list of places to go.
The passport. You don't even need a passport, okay? They speak the same language. It's like going to LA. It's like going to California for the day.
Don't they speak something else? Samoan?
No.
Something? They speak something.
Pigeon.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry, Mike. I was really thinking I was going to go in your direction, but Lewis picked two of my favorite people. So it's not because of him. It's because he picked two of my favorite people.
But you're going to have to, at the end of it, you know what's happening.
You didn't put the end of it in the date.
Oh.
No, it's fine.
Anal.
It's fine.
It's not even just sex. It's straight up real deal. It's going to get crazy.
I mean, listen, Shannon is a fair weather vegan. She obviously doesn't care. I mean, when it comes down to it, when it comes down to the real crux of the matter, it's her or the animals she chose her. She chose her selfish wants and needs, the artist, the trip to Hawaii, the Lewis's bulging penis entering her vigorously. That's
like
what
Lewis.
She wants more than saving those little children, those poor, those animals, those cats, those cows, those dogs, you know, hey, whatever you're
those
into,
little kids you that know? You were going to give shillings to in the street. You also, it was just a bad moment, Bispin. You can't follow making love to Amos Lee in front of a volcano with giving money to fucking homeless kids in Barcelona.
Who the fuck is Amos Lee?
Exactly.
How dare you?
Yeah.
He's a musician that Shannon loves. Show Bispin Amos Lee.
And he's going to throw
up. What's he got that I haven't got?
He's a talented singer. That's the only thing.
Bispin can sing. That? Don't you fucking dare. Bispin, sing a song.
I've got friends that can sing. You know what I mean?
Bisping.
I've got friends that can sing. I can arrange to have this guy. He can't even open his fucking eyes.
He's blind, Bisping. Jesus Christ.
Don't make me pop out my eyeball. This isn't a competition when it comes to blindness. It is. Out of everyone here in this room, I win. I win that argument, okay? All right. Well, good segment.
That was fun. Shannon, what are you doing for Valentine's Day? Anything?
Nothing. Be working. Well, I don't know what day of the week it is. I'm sure I'll be working. Yeah.
It's Friday.
No plans.
Friday. Why don't you? If a guy asks you out though, and like he was like, "Hey, let me take you to dinner, get a drink."
It would depend on who the guy is. Because it's
Shannon,
Valentine's Day.
Have you got?
Yes.
You want to get drinks for Valentine's
no.
Day?
No, thank you. Oh, I'm busy. I'm working.
You've got no interest whatsoever, Shannon. I don't believe that. Come on, there's got to be somebody.
No, there's not. I don't have interest in anybody.
Shoot your shot, guys. Everyone out there, Shannon is looking for a good time on Friday night.
We just don't talk about it. All right. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Brian told me he just got dumped. I also just got dumped.
At this moment?
A chick that I've been seeing just texted me saying she doesn't want to see me anymore.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, hold on. You just got dumped, Lewis.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't like seriously dating this girl, but she was just like, yeah, I just feel like just
I
now.
Was.
Would you have done something for her for Valentine's Day, though?
I was going to send her flowers, yeah.
So you save money.
Yeah, he was going to pick her up in a Rolls Royce Phantom and have Amos Andy or whoever the fuck his artist is.
Amos Andy, he's going to fuck her in front of me.
Whoever this Amos Lee or whatever he was. Brian, did you just say you've been dumped as well? What kind of losers am I doing podcasts?
10 minutes before we started the show.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I asked the girl that I've been seeing for a while out on a date, like, to be cute on Friday, and she said, actually, sorry, no, we should probably talk.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, you're dumping me. That's fine. Fine.
And did she respond?
Oh, no.
Right, it was a girl.
She can't even be bothered. She can't even be bothered to, like, give you another response. She's like, I've sent the message. He's accepted it. He's delivered it. Fine. That's it. We're done. We're over. Brian, how did you feel about this girl? Did you see it, you know, developing into something a little stronger? Be honest. Now's your time to talk about it.
Yeah, I asked her to move in with me a couple weeks ago. Like, we were going to start looking for a spot.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry, dude.
Oh, shit happens, man. What are you going to do? That's not what the show's
that's
about.
That's a real shame. That's a real shame. It's not what the show's about, though. But
I appreciate
what was this lady's name? Let's talk some shit about her. You know, Brian is over there professing his undying love for the girl. Say, should we do something romantic on Valentine's Day? And she dumps you in return.
Yes.
I feel for you, buddy.
Yeah, it happens.
Lewis, nothing to say, Lewis. Lewis, you've been dumped as well. Shannon. You're the only one that hasn't been dumped here.
Well, nobody will like her in the first place.
Yeah, there's no one to be dumped by. It's not a better place.
Jesus Christ. My God. All right. Okay. Everyone's staring at the phones. What Bummer. Are you doing, Lewis?
I got dumped. I got dumped just now. It just happened.
Are you actually bothered?
Kind of, yeah. I don't really dumped. I'm the dumper, not the dumpy.
Listen. Talk through your emotions right now. What are you feeling? Just go there. Listen. Just be honest. Whatever comes to your mind, the people listening need to know, because maybe some other people are going to go through this, Lewis. You're going to inspire them. You're going to inspire them how to deal with it, how to come through this at the other end, still with a positive mind frame. How do you handle this, Lewis?
It's not a big deal. I just am sort of surprised, kind of shocked.
You didn't see it coming.
Do you think
Brian was the one you hung out with?
Yeah, it was the chick you met
porn star?
The other week.
Yeah. No, not the porn star. Shh. Shh.
Was it the glasses? Maybe it's the glasses.
I don't know.
Shannon, how do you feel about the constant wearing of the glasses? If he was your guy and he constantly wore the shooting glasses, how would you feel?
I wouldn't love it, but I did date someone that also had weird things. Like, he'd put lines in the side of his hair and he was white. So he would do weird things, and it's just whatever. It's him.
I'm going to get a neck tattoo, and Shannon says once I get the neck tattoo, she's going to be more attracted to me.
I like neck tattoos.
Shannon's garbage. She's a straight up fucking garbage person.
Say, Shannon, you got problems. If anyone comes back with a guy with a neck tattoo, I will slap both of their face instantly. Say, you're grounded and you get the fuck off my driveway. You got 5 seconds before I kick your ass. Go on, get. All right. Okay. How long have we been going for?
We're going to wrap this one in just a second. Shannon, thank you very much for joining
Thanks
the show.
Me,
Go
guys.
Listen to Shannon's Shannon, podcast, you, guys. The Thing Shannon, Is Thing.
Yeah, no, I was going to say you're awesome, Shannon. Thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure. We do miss you. We miss the days of you producing for us. All the believers still miss you as well. But whatever you do Friday night, enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Sweet.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, hopefully you guys get some ideas. I you know, listen to the show, how to send dick pics, how to bring a girl on a very romantic date, how to win Shannon's heart.
You may go to the Joe Rogan podcast and learn a lot of tremendous information, but one thing you will not learn is how to send the optimal dick pic. Okay? Yes, I guarantee they have never broken that down. None of these scientists have been through that. They've never been through it. So, you know, one to us.
Listen, this has been a fun one. Mr. Bisping, happy Valentine's Day to you and the wife. I'm sure that you guys will have an amazing time. I will be out and about. If you're listening to this, this weekend on Valentine's Day, I'll be in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you guys want to check me out live, lots more dates coming up. Winnipeg, Canada, and Arlington Draft House in Virginia as well. Me and Bisping, obviously, will be planning some live shows soon enough, trying to make it work for Skankfest. Still working on that. Still negotiating on that, making Bisping's flight. All you gotta do is buy you the ticket. As soon as we buy the airline ticket, you're not gonna back out of it. So maybe you guys.
All right, listen. I'm not gonna be there. I've been told under strict instructions. I've got to tell you that I can't be there. Okay, Ooh. You're bringing it over on air. By my wife, I am going away. I go to Brasilia. I go to London. I go to Columbus. That's three places without being home. Okay. After that, I need to get home.
Give her back.
And I know. I understand.
Get her back.
Rebecca, come here. Lewis wants to speak to you.
It's one day. You fly. So you fly from Columbus to Houston.
Hold on. Brasilia to work, right? Work very hard. Fly to London. Work very hard. Go and see my mom for 2 days. That's the hardest work of it all. That is going to be the hardest part of all of it. From then, I fly to Columbus, Ohio. I have a lot of studying to do. I got to commentate an event there in Columbus, Ohio. Then you were saying on Sunday morning, after all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. You're saying I should fly to Houston, get off the plane in Houston, come there, entertain the crowd, hopefully, with our podcast, and then in the morning, get on a flight back home. There's only so many flights.
Probably going to be the afternoon. Houston gets crazy, Bisping. You think it's going to be the morning? No. You ain't getting up in the morning, baby boy.
Yeah, listen, Rebecca, he's trying to tell me to go to Columbus.
Rebecca, he's coming to Houston on Sunday, March 29th. It's a lot. We're going to do one live show. It's at the end of his trip. He, you know, there's one extra little day. It's not going to hurt anybody's feelings. He's going to go from Columbus to Houston, Houston to L.A. We'll get him first class. First class, Bisping. Both ways, okay?
It's pretty
cool. It's a full
color. You know, I mean, it's fine by me. I'm just saying. Ooh.
You are a bitch. You are a bitch. Listen, because you know what women do, don't you? You're right? This is what they do. They go, fine by me, in front of everybody. So they seem like the cool wife. And then when you're by yourself, they go, so you're just going to choose to go down to there? Very good. But in front of you, you say it's easy. Rebecca.
Okay. Have fun.
Skank Fest.
You want to go instead of me?
Yeah.
All right. You go.
They would like it more.
Work.
It's a joke, by the way.
Why don't you come with us?
I don't see how that's going to work.
No.
Anyway.
All right. Okay.
No.
Okay.
But no, whatever.
We'll figure it out.
It's a possibility.
All right.
Fill them with hope. You're not going
I'm not filling them with hope. You're filling them with hope. Don't tell me. You're the one sitting there saying it's fine. And then as she's walking away, she's shaking her head saying, don't fill them with hope. Jesus, what mixed signals all right, day.
Let's wrap this one. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week with another Believe You Me. Peace.